capsules. It may defy the laws of physics, but in the end, they all roll. I've dropped more pills than the average person swallows in a year, and when they hit the floor, they scatter like roaches. And when they roll, they don't stop until they've reached the farthest, most undesirable destination imaginable. Deep under beds, wedged beneath the floorboard, hidden in plain sight in the low pile of wall-to-wall carpeting. And as it turned out on one particular evening in early 2003, under the urinal in the bathroom at the Waldorf Astoria. Three of them, to be precise, which, on a bended, tuxedo-clad knee, I rescued, promptly put in my mouth, and swallowed. It's not the first time I did something I'm not proud of while wearing a tuxedo. There was the night I threw up in a garbage can in Times Square on my way home from a benefit performance of some Broadway show. I can't remember the name of the show, but I do remember a man with a ponytail and a leather vest clutching his date tightly by the arm as they walked past me on a crowded sidewalk. "Don't look," he told her. "Just keep moving." Then there was the time I stole a bottle of Valium from the master bathroom medicine cabinet of my friend Ingrid's parents' Upper East Side duplex while everyone was downstairs toasting her 30th birthday. I didn't just take a few pills like any normal self-respecting degenerate might. No, I literally pocketed the whole bottle. Not just all of the contents of the bottle, but the actual bottle. They rattled like tic-tacs in the breast pocket of my tux as I made my way past a multicolored Calder mobile and down the sweeping staircase to rejoin the party. And there was the middle-of-the-night trip to the emergency room at St. Vincent's, where I conned an exhausted young doctor into giving me a prescription for 30 Vicodin after being repeatedly flashed in the waiting room by a woman in a pink paper gown. I was in black tie for all of them, dressed to impress, just as I was that night at the Waldorf Astoria in 2003. I was attending a gala fundraiser. Invitations to events like these were common, even if my attendance at them was infrequent. Sometimes Condé Nast, the publishing giant for which I'd been working as the editor-in-chief of Details for a few years by this point, would buy a table and I'd be asked to join. Other times, the evening would honor an executive or designer from a fashion company, and the organizers would try to fill tables with editors, celebrities, and celebrity editors. I was, I assumed, a Plan B guest, fit to attend, but not first choice, like an alternate on an Olympic team. And I was rarely invited with a plus one, though I wouldn't have brought anyone had I been. As with just about everything else I did, I preferred to go to these functions alone. Plus ones gave me anxiety. They slowed me down. They wanted to be treated like humans. They wanted to show up on time and be introduced to people and mingle and eat and stay for the performance. There was always a performance. Once, shortly before September 11th, 2001, after she had been asking for months to join me at one of these, I finally agreed to bring my long-suffering, nightlife-loving girlfriend Caroline along. And of course she insisted on staying for the performance. I think it might have been Patti LaBelle, or maybe it was Gladys Knight. Either way, Caroline wasn't interested in leaving when I was. "Can we please just get out of here?" I pleaded halfway through the dinner. I was high. I was always high, but not nearly high enough for another hour and a half of small talk and rubber chicken. "What is wrong with you?" she asked for the thousandth time in our relationship. "I'm not here to have fun," I said. "This isn't fun for me. This is work." "Work? We're at this amazing party with all of these incredible people and an R&B legend is about to perform," she said in the type of clipped, loud whisper often reserved for public spats. "All of a sudden, Miss Indie Rock is dying to see the Queen of Soul?" "Aretha Franklin is the Queen of Soul, asshole," she said. "I knew I shouldn't have brought you," I shot back. "Plus, everyone is staring at your nipples." "You're a dick," she said. She was right. I was a dick. A dick in a tux. From that point on, there were no more plus ones. And so I went alone to the children's benefit at the Waldorf in early 2003, but not before doing something else I wasn't particularly proud of. Something that my fashion magazine colleagues would have frowned upon, perhaps even more than my drug addiction. I went to the tailor and let out my tuxedo. Getting fat in fashion was never in fashion. I wasn't what the editors of Details referred to as sexy fat, either. This was actually a thing.